What is that number? I'm dying to know. I'm dying to know the number of petitions that came in yesterday and today. We won't have that till later, right? Yeah. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Tomorrow is the deadline to get your petitions in for the personhood amendment, No Signature Left Behind. We're in the No Signature Left Behind phase of Colorado's personhood petition drive. And yesterday, now we don't yet know the number of signatures coming in today because it's still today. But yesterday, 15,000 signatures came in yesterday, 15,000 signatures. And this is what's happening. During a petition drive, people ask over and over and over, hundreds of times, 1,000 times, well, how many signatures do we have? Let's say you're shooting for 76,000 like we are here in Colorado. And people get their petitions, and in Colorado they hold 97 signatures. That's quite a few for one petition. And they tend to hold on to it until they near the deadline, and then they hand deliver it or mail it in. So it's like if you were an onion farmer and people asked, how's the harvest? And you said, well, it's not the harvest yet. Yeah, but how's the harvest? Well, it's not the harvest yet. You know, we plant, we till the ground. In the spring, we plant and we fertilize and the Lord waters, and then we wait for the harvest. And you work as hard as you can the whole time, but you got to wait for the harvest to see how you're doing. And so we pray that people who realize that we have this opportunity to stop the killing of innocent children, that if they have petitions, that they will get them in now. This is the No Signature Left Behind phase of the Colorado petition effort, and we need your help. So on Friday, 7,500 signatures came in. Yesterday, 15,000 signatures came in. Today, of course, the signatures are coming in, and that's to Personhood Colorado's headquarters in Arvada. So the address for Personhood Colorado, it's on your petition. Their phone number is there, and you could call and make sure your petition gets in to Personhood Colorado. And then, Lord willing, by tomorrow or Thursday, perhaps, we'll be able to announce right here at Bob Inyart Live how many signatures. Now, I don't know. Personhood Colorado, they might want to hold off and announce that when they're about to turn them in to the Secretary of State's office, which is downtown. A couple news stories. Moscow is complaining. That's the capital of Russia. It's a metaphor for the government of Russia. Moscow is complaining that America's missile shield is aimed at Russia. And that's just takes me off guard a bit, because I didn't quite realize that you aim a missile shield at another country. I didn't think you do that. But according to the chief of staff for Russia's armed forces, Nikolai Makarov, he's saying that the development and establishment of the U.S. missile shield is directed against the Russian Federation. And it just takes me off guard. I mean, how do you aim a missile shield at someone? It's a shield. You aim missiles at other countries, but you don't really aim a shield at them. A shield is a defensive weapon, not an offensive weapon. They might be aiming their missiles at America, but surely we're not really aiming our shield at the Russians, are we? You know what I wish? I wish I could speak to a Russian analyst who worked for the Pentagon. That's what I wish. But I can't. I guess I could if I tried. But if it's true, if America, now these missile shields, they cost what? Billions of dollars? Billions and billions and billions of dollars? They cost way more money in dollars than the universe is old, I'll tell you that. Well, if it's true that America has built a missile shield aimed at Russia, then the Russians should be tickled pink because they can thwart the entire effort, cause us to lose all those billions of dollars. Just don't fire at us. That's all they got to do. We got a whole missile shield wasted because it's pointed at Russia. Just don't fire on us, and then everything is fine. Then you guys won that battle, right? So that Russian Armed Forces Chief of Staff, Nikolai, should be tickled pink. He's got the secret to thwart our entire missile shield. We're just not going to shoot at the Americans. All right, and go from one absurd official to another. Here in the U.S., the Treasury Secretary, Geithner says, Timothy Geithner, he says that America, regardless of our extraordinary debt and our deficit, you know, the average annual Bush deficit is now Obama's average monthly deficit. You got that? Bush's average annual deficit is now Obama's average monthly deficit. It's pretty stunning. How's that working out for us? Everybody's back to work already. The economy's churning along. Well, the Treasury Secretary, he should be reading the Gospels. He should be reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he's apparently not. And he said to ABC News that America is in no danger of losing our excellent debt rating. You know, as a creditor, and we sell debt to investors, and we have a AAA rating, that's the best you can get. You can get A and AA. America, we have AAA. Some corporations have AAA. Probably Google has AAA. Microsoft probably has AAA. Now, GM is bought by the government. Obama's running GM, so I'm sure it doesn't have AAA rating. But the Treasury Secretary says that America will never lose our AAA rating. Never. And ABC News asked, well, isn't it possible that our rating might be downgraded? Isn't that a concern? And he said, absolutely not. That will never happen to this country. And Jesus Christ said, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. So that's the kind of ego that's at the center of the Obama administration, that they not only have spent our children's inheritance, but they have spent our children's children's inheritance, and they think that nothing could touch our debt rating. Nothing. We're above that. And so that's just the absurdity and the foolishness of the socialists who are running the government. Now, Bush, we always have to point out that the horrendously wicked things that Obama is doing, Bush did and Mitt Romney did, only they did it a little bit differently. Obama's doing it with more flair. But yes, Obama's trying to pass health reform that would pay for some abortion. Mitt Romney passed health reform that pays for all abortion. But we want Mitt Romney as the president because we don't like that Obama is trying to pass health reform that pays for some abortion. So we'd much rather have Mitt Romney, who passed Romney Care in Massachusetts, a government program or a massive government intrusion in health care that pays for all abortion, not only in certain circumstances, but elective abortions, all elective surgical abortions. Now, actually, every abortion is an elective abortion because there is never a reason to intentionally kill a child. You may have to try to save the mother and the baby, but you don't intentionally kill the mother to save the baby, and you don't intentionally kill the baby to save the mother. You don't do it. But what? When Mitt Romney passes health reform that pays for all abortion, that we want Mitt Romney to save us from Barack Obama because he may pass health reform that pays for some abortion? I mean, please realize that the conservative talk show host and the Republican leaders you're listening to are virtually lunatics. They are virtually lunatics. They deceive you. They lie to you. They like the power. They like the money. They like the influence. And the in crowd has to continue the lie. And so you have groups like Focus on the Family saying, well, we are so similar to Mitt Romney. They produce a political video saying we're so similar to Mitt Romney. Why is that? Mitt Romney instituted homosexual marriage in Massachusetts. He did it. The Massachusetts Supreme Court did not order him to institute homosexual marriage. That's a lie. You could go to our websites, kgov.com. You could just search for Mitt Romney, read the ruling, read the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling. It's very short, and it never even mentions the governor. It doesn't say the governor must institute homosexual marriage. Mitt Romney did that because he wanted to do that. Because he made a promise to the homosexual log cabin Republicans that he would help them. And especially if he gets to Washington, D.C., he would especially help them. And so he opposed the Defense of Marriage Act. Now he wants to be the Republican nominee, so now he supports the Defense of Marriage Act. But he instituted homosexual marriage, and he authorized elective surgical abortions as part of the health reform that bears his name in Massachusetts, RomneyCare. Is that making sense, any of that making sense? So, yeah, the Obama administration is taking quaaludes when they talk about financial policy, but so was the Bush administration. The big bailout, that was Bush. Bush is the one who first said, we have to nationalize some of the banks. He said, we're going to have to violate the principles of the free market in order to save the free market. You want to talk about doublespeak? The Bible warns against double-minded men who are unstable in all their ways. And Bush gives us a trillion-dollar prescription drug program? And where is Sean Hannity lamenting and pointing out that Bush was a traitor to conservative and pro-life principles? Oh, they'll whine about it a little bit here and there. But they'll whine about it only, you know, if they think it's going to help get another Republican elected. Tomorrow is the deadline for Colorado's signature drive, and also this week is the deadline in Mississippi, coincidentally. In April is the deadline in California. We've got various deadlines around the country in Montana and Florida and elsewhere. We've got legislative initiatives for personhood, and the timing is not great with the Bob Benyert Live annual broadcast telethon because our goal is to bring in $40,000 this month to help keep us on the air, on the radio, for another 12 months. We do this every February to help keep us broadcasting on the most powerful Christian radio station in America, the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT. And it turns out that we just got a call in a donation to the telethon from, what state is that? What is that? Germany? That's Germany? You guys are kidding me, right? You're kidding me? No, really. Germany, $1,000 from Germany. $400 from Indiana, $100 from Maryland, $100 from Oklahoma, $100 from Texas, $265 from Colorado. That's $1,965. We're almost at $2,000. That'll be exciting when we get to $2,000 of our $40,000 goal. $4,000, that'd be 10%. $2,000 would be 5%. We're getting close. And anyone who gives $100 or more can request two BEL resources. A rancher from Texas called in yesterday and asked for the Job Bible study that we've done here at Bob and Yurt Live, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, 42 chapters of the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, the oldest significant drama book in the history of the world. the book of Job. What a fascinating Bible study, and it's on two CDs. And so Tom from Texas asked for the Job Bible study. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. That's the number to call into the show or the number to donate to the telethon, the Bob and Yurt Live telethon. Some people get upset if you call it a telethon on the radio because they say a telethon is for a television, I guess, or to use a telephone to call into the radio. I think it works either way, really. Let's go to Denver. Porter, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How are you, Pastor Bob?
Doing great, sir. What's up?
Hey, you know, you made a comment about these conservative talk show hosts we're hearing. They're a little bit on the whack side, and people like Mitt Romney who, you know, we want to vote them in under false pretenses, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one note was like the Scott Brown. Everyone wanted to vote him in just because, you know, he was a conservative and opposed the present form of the health care reform, yada, yada,
yeah,
yada.
And, of course, he helped pass Massachusetts health care reform, which paid
exactly.
for elective surgical abortions through late term for any reason. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, now we're stuck with that. So, you know, a question I had for you, though, Pastor Bob. I know you've had, over the years, you've had longer shows, television shows. You've got your show right now. And all these other conservatives are you know, they're the McCains of the presidential elections. They're not the Allen Keys.
Right.
And you're the Allen Keys of the airwaves.
Oh, you're so kind, Porter.
You are the actual Christian conservative that who represents us.
Well, I don't know. I'll give you 5 minutes to cut that out and make your case.
Okay.
But no, yeah, no, I'm only kidding. Porter, that's very kind of you. Hey, it's easy to compromise because you want a seat at the table, right? It's easy.
Well,
and so...
I agree.
Yeah, so that's what happens to many. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus dealt with the religious leaders who had compromised. And they were Herodians. They knew Herod was a murderer, but they thought Herod was the lesser of two evils, so they advocated Herod's dynasty. They were the Herodians. Jesus didn't like it. He didn't like the lawyers. He didn't like the Sadducees. He didn't like the Herodians.
I get so frustrated with this. Why can't people be conservative like us?
Well, I guess, you know, it's a matter of trust and it's a matter of wisdom. Let me ask you this, Porter. Which is more likely to lead to the other? Is stupidity more likely to lead to sin? Now, you got to really put on your thinking cap here. Is stupidity more likely to lead to sin? Or is sin more likely to lead to stupidity?
Wow, that's a good one, huh?
Yeah, I think we talk about things like this around here at Bob and Yurt Live for 20 years.
Nice.
And after our consideration of the issue, we don't think that people who have lower IQs in general tend to be more wicked than really smart people. We don't think that. So it's not that stupidity leads to sin, as much as sin leads to utter stupidity. And we have a Republican Party leadership that is in the lunatic fringe. And our Christian mega ministries, many of them are right there next to them in the funny farm. And they say, we're just like Mitt Romney. We are so much like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is our kind of guy. He's a guy we could support because we're focused on the family. And Mitt Romney instituted homosexual marriage and he authorized tax-funded elective abortions as part of his government health care plan. And he got Scott Brown to support him. So we really think Mitt Romney, we are so similar to Mitt Romney. Now, someday, and who voiced that? At Focus on the Family, Porter, do you know who voiced that?
Oh, Lord, that frustrates me even more when we talk about Focus.
Yeah, well, that was Tom Minery, their director of public
That's
policy,
right.
Vice President of Public Policy, and he did it on video. We have the video. We have the video online at prolifeprofiles.com/Romney.
You know what, Pastor Bob, speaking of online, I'd like to ask you this question because, you know, I praise God when Brian Rohrbaugh and Alan Keyes ran, because not that I believed that they would win,
right.
But I liked taking my name and saying, I support God, and these gentlemen love God, and I want to support those who love God.
Well, amen. You know, if Jesus ran, our Christian leaders would not support him because they'd say he doesn't have a chance to win.
Exactly. And,
you know what, Porter? It was so obvious, the overwhelming victory that Barack Obama would have at the polls. I mean, it was overwhelmingly
right.
obvious. So think of all the Republicans who threw away their vote. They threw away their vote by
exactly.
voting for John McCain. Why do you
exactly.
throw away your vote and vote for a known loser who's also a pro-homosexual child killer? I mean, why do you throw away your vote?
You mentioned it earlier in your show. You mentioned the log cabin Republicans.
Right.
You know, you can't, that's like saying he's a homosexual Christian. That's not realistic. You can't say he's a log cabin Republican because a Republican's supposed to have meant he was a conservative.
Supposed to, but we know now that no longer means
right.
that. Do you know what a rhino is, Porter?
A Republican in name only, yes, sir.
Well, I don't want you to get mad at me. I want to suggest something to you.
Yes, sir.
For this comment, I'm taking it for granted that you are a conservative Christian Bible believer and that your views on public policy are the same as God's views.
Amen.
So here's what I'm going to say.
Yes, sir.
Porter, you are a rhino.
Yes, sir.
You are a rhino. Do you know why I'm saying that?
No, I am a rhino. Yes, sir, and I agree with you.
Oh, you follow it. Now, not everybody in the audience is following this.
Oh, because
if you're
I call myself a Republican, but I'm only a Republican in name.
In name only, because the Republican Party is bankrupt, it's morally bankrupt, and
Amen.
It is a traitor to the right to life of the unborn, it's a traitor to marriage, it's a traitor to God's command, do not steal, because it's a socialist party B, and the
Amen.
Democrats are socialist party A. So what it means to be a Republican today is to be pro-choice, pro-homosexual, pro-socialism, pro-government health care. So you are a rhino. I'm a
yes,
rhino,
sir.
Republican in name only, because we no longer are a valid part of the Republican Party. Believe me, Mitt Romney would much rather hang around with homosexuals than with James Dobson or conservative Christians.
Didn't Bush appoint some homosexuals when he was in Texas, or was it while he was in office?
Well, both.
Oh, Lord.
Both. In fact, his father was the first one to invite the homosexuals to honor them at the White House. First time in the history of the country, homosexuality was honored at the highest level of American government by a Republican Bush-Quayle administration.
I'm frustrated, Pastor Bob. I want more people like Brian Robar and Alan Keyes to run.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you, Porter. May God bless you.
Rejoice. Amen.
Rejoice. Revival. Do I have to pay Cal Zastro royalty if I shout revival? At the end of yesterday's show, Doug McBurney, a frequent co-host here at Bob Inert Live, Doug pointed out that magazine newsstands, their sales, magazine newsstand sales have been plummeting. The last half of last year, 2009, they fell by 9%. 9%. The first half of last year, they fell by 11%. Some of the big name newspapers are just falling apart, like Time and Newsweek. These publications, their newsstand sales are down maybe an average of 40%. When you look at W, for example, Time, Newsweek, even some of the other popular ones, they're plummeting. And that destruction of their business, by the way, their newsstand sales, that's part of their more lucrative end of their business. Because their subscriptions, they heavily discount subscriptions because they're desperately trying to keep their circulation up. So they say, if you buy this bottle of pop for one more penny, you can get a year's subscription to Newsweek. Because they're desperate for subscribers. Now, I just made up that example, but you know what I mean. You buy a bag of Cheetos for just 3 cents extra, you could get Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News and World Report for the rest of your life. And so their newsstand sales, they sell the magazine at the cover price, and it's way more lucrative. And that's where they're just in a crisis. Could you imagine in the last 6 months of last year, newsstand sales of magazines across the board, they fall 9%. The 6 months before that, they fell 11%. Some of these, Time Magazine, let me see if I could spot it here. Time Magazine is down 34.9%. Newsweek down 41.3%. All they've got is 62,000 people buying their magazine at newsstands. That's better than Newsday, the Long Island daily newspaper that spent $4 million on their website to take subscriptions, and in 3 months they sold 35. Not 35,000, 35. 100, not 3,500, 35. 35, as in less than three dozen. It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. These liberal, socialist, pro-abort newsmongers who try to make Christians look like the bad guys and the child killers look like the heroes, it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. And you know what? With all those magazine sales crumbling, I just love Creation Magazine. It is such a perfect publication. Creation Magazine reminds me of why they created magazines in the first place. And I don't want to short shrift Answers in Genesis, their magazine, Answers Magazine. That's a great magazine, too. But at our program here on Bob and Yurt Live, we do a Real Science Friday show. We should be doing the next show within a week or so. We've gotten into such a wonderful habit of chronicling every issue of Creation Magazine, we've just fallen in love with it. So you'll probably want to go to creation.com and subscribe to Creation Magazine. Now that is what a magazine should be. And also answersingenesis.org, of course, and Answers Magazine. But all this is going on. The deadline is tomorrow to get in your signatures for Colorado, get in your signatures for Mississippi. And in other states, please keep pressing on for the Lord and the innocent. Maranatha, what a great school. And our website is kgov.com.